Okay, so you're probably right in the middle of law school right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just buried in cases. You're trying to figure out, like, what actually matters.
Yeah.
And so today we thought we'd do a deep dive that should be on your radar. A case called Blotsky v. Lightholm.
Oh, yeah.
And this case, it's really important for understanding how seriously courts view the stability of child custody arrangements.
Yeah. In North Dakota, and really across the board, it shows how much courts don't want to change custody orders once they've been put in place.
Yeah. So like, almost like climbing Mount Everest to change a custody order. It's that hard.
Yeah, exactly. Blotsky really emphasizes that. It's not about trying to find a maybe slightly better situation. Yeah. It's about saying, look, we want to protect this child from being moved around unless there's a real need.
Right.
And a real serious need.
Yeah. And the court set a really high bar, like you said, for somebody who will do that.
Really high.
So let's just kind of set the stage for everybody. You know, we're going back to 1988. Cindy Blotsk. Then Cindy Lightholm and Russell Lightholm are getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
They have three daughters. And Jessica, the youngest, is only 2 years old at this time.
Okay.
And so the initial custody agreement says that Jessica's going to live with Cindy and the two older girls are going to go live with Russell.
Gotcha.
Now, fast forward a couple years later to 1990, Russell files a motion to change custody of Jessica.
Okay.
And he's alleging neglect. Now, this is after Cindy remarried mm-hmm. and moved.
Mm-hmm.
So the trial court actually sides with Russell.
Wow.
Says, okay, we're going to change this. You know, there are changed circumstances here. And we think it's in Jessica's best interest to live with Russell now.
Interesting. So, and this is where the North Dakota Supreme Court comes in and says, wait a minute.
Exactly.
We need to look at this a little bit more closely.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's really important to note is that there were some allegations of neglect. Those were later dropped.
Right.
But it's interesting that Russell filed his motion right after Cindy got remarried in 1991. And then there was a move that happened after that. The trial court was really hung up on how that would impact Russell's visitation.
Right.
And, you know, this new stepdad being introduced into Jessica's life.
Right.
There were some claims of abuse thrown around, but nothing was ever proven.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's really kind of head scratching. Is that the court actually found that Jessica was a normal, happy child in Cindy's care.
Yeah, that's the part that's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
She's happy, and you're going to change everything up. Mm-hmm. So that really set the stage for this appeal to the North Dakota Supreme Court, which is what we're talking about today.
Exactly.
We're going to unpack exactly why the Supreme Court said, nope, we're going to reverse this decision, and what that means for, you know, understanding custody modification.
Yeah, and it's really important because in North Dakota, at the heart of all of this is the two-step test for modifying custody. And this isn't just some formality.
Right.
This is based on the idea that we want to keep kids stable. We don't want to be moving them around unless there's a real serious reason.
Right.
So that's what this two-step test is all about.
So for those of us that are still trying to, like, figure out all these legal standards, break it down for us. What are the two steps?
Okay, so the first step, if you want to change custody, is you've got to show that there's been a significant change in circumstances. And this can't just be any little change. It has to be something that is really negatively affecting the child.
Right. So not just like, oh, the parent moved to a new job in the same town.
Right. That's a change, but is it a bad change for the kid?
Right.
So that's the first thing you got to show.
Okay. So you got to show a real negative consequence for the child.
Yeah.
So what's the second step?
Okay. So even if you can prove that there's been this big change that's bad for the kid, you still got to convince the court that actually changing who the kid lives with is the best thing for them.
Right.
So it's not just that there's problems where they are now. You got to prove that moving them is going to be better for them in the long run. Right. Okay, that makes sense. So let's go back to Blotsk. What was the trial court's reasoning for giving Russell what he wanted? And where did the Supreme Court see them messing up this two-step test?
Yeah, so the trial court, you know, they were really focused on the fact that Cindy got remarried and she moved, which did make it harder for Russell to see Jessica.
Right.
And then there's the whole stepdad situation.
Right.
So they seem to be thinking that maybe Russell's home would be a better environment.
Okay.
But the Supreme Court basically said, you're jumping the gun here.
Right.
You haven't shown that Jessica is actually being harmed where she is. You're just speculating that she might be better off with Russell.
Right. So they're looking at potential improvements instead of actually saying, hey, here's a concrete problem in Cindy's care.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And this is where the Supreme Court says, whoa, 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 stability is so important here.
Right.
You can't just move a kid around because you think it might be slightly better somewhere else. You got to have a really good reason. And that reason has to be about the kid being harmed, not just about potential benefits.
And that brings us back to that point that Jessica was considered a happy child.
Right.
Like, how did the Supreme Court use that to overturn the trial court's decision?
That's a great question. They basically said, look, the trial court found that Jessica was happy and normal with her mom.
Right.
So how can they turn around and say that it's in her best interest to move her?
Right.
To the Supreme Court, that just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
They call it a clearly erroneous finding.
Right.
Because it goes against this whole idea that if a child is doing well in a stable environment, we shouldn't mess with that.
Right. So if a child's thriving,
yeah,
you're going to have a really tough time convincing a court to change things.
Almost impossible. Blotz right. really made that clear.
Yeah. So basically, Jessica being happy with Cindy totally blew Russell's argument out of the water, even with all the other changes going on.
Pretty much. The Supreme Court said, look, your conclusion doesn't match your own findings. You said she's happy, but you're saying she needs to move.
Right. It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
So the trial court also looked at the stepdad being there and used that when they were thinking about the whole continuity idea.
Yeah.
How did the Supreme Court deal with that?
Yeah, that's another important part of this case. The trial court seemed to think that the stepdad being there disrupted things for Jessica.
Okay.
But the Supreme Court said, whoa, 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 when we talk about continuity, we're talking about the bond between Jessica and her mom, Cindy.
Okay.
That's the relationship that matters most.
Gotcha.
So they said the trial court got it wrong by focusing on the stepdad instead of that main relationship between Jessica and Cindy. Just because there's a step-parent doesn't mean the child isn't stable with their mom.
So they're really emphasizing that the relationship with the parent who's been taking care of the child all along is the most important thing when we're talking about continuity.
Exactly. The law recognizes how important that bond is for a child's stability. And unless there's some evidence that that relationship is harmful, the court's not going to prioritize other relationships.
Now, we also saw that Justice Van de Waal and Chief Justice Eric Stad wrote concurring opinions.
Right.
What were the main points they made?
So they both agreed with the decision to reverse the trial court.
Okay.
But they each had some extra thoughts. Justice Van de Waal was really concerned about the practical implications.
Okay.
He said, if we're so focused on stability, does that mean custodial parents can just do whatever they want and prevent the other parent from seeing their kid?
Ah, I see.
So he proposed having super strict visitation schedules with serious consequences if the custodial parent doesn't follow them.
Right. So making sure the other parent still has a relationship with the kid.
Yeah. He was trying to balance protecting stability with making sure both parents can be involved.
That's a really good point. It's not always easy to find that middle ground.
Right.
So what about Chief Justice Eric Stad? What was his take?
Well, he was coming at it from the perspective of judicial restraint. You know how appellate courts usually give a lot of deference to trial courts?
Right.
Because the trial court actually gets to see the witnesses and the evidence firsthand.
Right.
Well, he said in this case, even though we usually do, that he agreed with the reversal.
Okay.
Because he said there just wasn't enough evidence to support moving Jessica away from her mom.
So he's saying the trial court didn't really make a strong enough case.
Right. They didn't really explain well enough why they thought changing custody was truly necessary for Jessica.
So even though appellate courts usually respect what the trial court decides in Blotzk, they said it went too far.
Yeah. It shows that the Supreme Court has to step in sometimes when the trial court makes a mistake about the law.
Right. Especially when it's a decision that could have such a big impact on a child's life.
Exactly.
So let's break it down for all the future lawyers listening. What are the big takeaways from Blotzky v. Lidholm? What should they really remember as they start their careers?
This case is packed with important lessons.
Okay.
First off, it really sets a high bar for changing a custody order in North Dakota. And lots of other states follow the same idea. It's not enough to say, things have changed. You have to prove that those changes are harming the child.
Right. So like we said before, you can't just go to court and say, I think things would be better if the kid lived with me.
Exactly. You got to show there's a real problem where the child is now.
Gotcha.
And you can't just talk about it in general terms either. You got to have specific evidence of actual harm. Like we talked about with Jessica being a happy kid, you need more than just potential benefits. You need to show real negative consequences.
Okay, so that's point number two, have the evidence to back it up. What else?
This one's really important for anyone going into family law. If there are visitation problems, you got to deal with those directly before you even think about trying to change custody.
Oh, interesting.
The court in Bloska made it pretty clear that unless those visitation issues are super serious and actually hurting the kid, they're not going to be enough to change custody. They want you to solve the visitation problems first, not use them as an excuse to change who the child lives with.
So don't try to use visitation as a way to get around the custody rules.
Right. Focus on fixing the visitation problems first.
Okay.
And maybe the most important takeaway from Blotzk is this. The court really cares about stability for the child.
Okay.
That's not just one factor among many. It's like the main guiding principle.
Gotcha.
So when a court looks at a request to change custody, that's the first thing they're thinking about. Is this going to disrupt the child's life?
So basically, Blotzky v. Lidholm is telling us that courts are going to do everything they can to keep a child in a stable home unless there's really strong evidence that they're being harmed.
Absolutely. They're not going to move a kid just because the other parent says things might be better with them. It's all about what's best for the child.
Yeah.
And stability is a huge part of that.
So to all our listeners out there, think about this. How do we as a legal system balance the need for stability with the rights of the parent who doesn't have custody?
Yeah.
And how do we make sure visitation orders are followed without messing up that stability that's so important?
That's a tough question.
It is a tough question.
It's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah. Blotzk gives us a lot to think about, and it gives us a framework for how to approach these really complicated situations.
That definitely does.
All right. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.